Turn with me, if you would, now to 1 Samuel chapter 25. I'd like to tell you a story, and then after that, I'd like to show you a picture. We'll start into the story just a little way, and then we'll catch the picture up and finish the story and picture together. That's what we did last Wednesday night, and that's what we'll do tonight. As you know, David was anointed king by the prophet Samuel. He defeated Goliath. He was welcomed into Saul's house. He was loved by Jonathan. And then he was hated by Saul. And he was pursued by Saul. Saul became David's enemy. He continually tried to kill him. But Saul was stopped in chapter 24 when David spared his life. That's what we looked at last Wednesday night. For a moment, just for a moment, it broke Saul. And I say just for a moment. But David made a covenant with Saul, and for a moment, Saul went home. That's how chapter 24 ended. Now, chapter 25, verse 1 says, "And Samuel died," the prophet that Israel rejected, wanting a king to reign over them instead. God appointed Samuel, the prophet, to rule over them, and they said, "We don't want a prophet, we want a king." Verse 1 says, "And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel." He had his possessions there. That word means his business was there. "There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish," and that means he was hard and cruel and stubborn and difficult. He was a difficult man. "He was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep." This man had 3,000 sheep, and he was there shearing his sheep. And we're about to read in just a minute that the shepherds of those sheep that belonged to Nabal, there was a period of time when Nabal's shepherds and Nabal's sheep were with David and his men out in the wilderness. And David and his men watched over those shepherds and watched over the sheep, and they protected them. They did that for Nabal. Not specifically, they were doing it for the shepherds and the sheep, but they all belonged to Nabal. David and his men now are hungry. All right, so verse 4, "David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep, and David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, 'Get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee and peace be to thine house. And peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes. He's saying the young men who I've sent to you with this message. Let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. And that means we come in kindness. We come in peace. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand, unto thy servants and to thy son David. He's approaching Nabal very kindly, very humbly, very respectfully. He's asking, of all of your substance, could you spare anything for us? We were with your men and we didn't touch anything that belonged to yours, and we're asking nicely. Verse 9. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. They told what they were told to tell, and then they stopped. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, gird on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day. All the while we were with them keeping the sheep, they protected us. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Now, do we understand what's going on in the story so far? Is that following all that? All right, let me give a little bit of the picture. This man, Nabal, his name means the fool. Clearly he is. That's what his name means, the fool. He represents me and you. He represents us by nature. David, there are times when David represents God's people. There are times, many times, quite often, when David represents Christ. In this moment, he represents God the Father, who was nothing but good to man. Nothing but good. Nabal's shepherds, these men that were with David out there, and David didn't do them any harm, and he protected them. He was a wall unto them. David's shepherds, they represent the law. We're going to see that very, very clearly. The law who God upheld and protected and nourished. God's holy law. Look at verse 5 again. It says, and David sent out 10 young men. David sent out messengers to the fool. In the end of verse 5, he said, greet him in my name. And that's how God sends preachers to men and women. They come in his name, on his errand, doing his business. That's all that a preacher is. If you want to get right to the heart of what a true preacher is, he's a puppet. He's God's puppet doing whatever God tells that man to do. And that is preach my word. He said, you bring this word to them and you come to them in my name. And David told those messengers, this is the message I'm sending you with. I want you to tell him how good I was to him and to all of his possessions. Look at the end of verse 7. While they were in Carmel, you tell them how good I was to him and all his possessions while they were in Carmel. You know what the name Carmel means? It means the garden land. He said, this is the message. You tell him how good I was to him in the garden. So good. That's what the messengers did. They went and told Nabal. What was the fool's response? Rebellion. That's been man's response to God. Nabal said, who is David? Man says, who is God? Just like Nabal, man will find out. Man's going to find out. So David, representing God the Father, he said, in judgment to this, he said, grab your sword. In response to this rebellion, judgment is coming. He said, he and all of his house is going to suffer my wrath. Him and all of his house. Come morning, there's not going to be a man standing in his house. Now, in our picture here, we have the father. David represents God the Father. We have the fool. We have the law. But where's the lamb? Who represents the lamb? Where's Christ in all this? Let me tell you what this beautiful woman, whose name is Abigail, let me tell you what her name means. It means beloved of the Father. It means the Father's joy. It means the Father is my joy. In this picture, Abigail represents the Lord Jesus Christ. After David declared judgment on the fool, look with me at verse 14, chapter 25, verse 14. It says, but one of the young men, one of the shepherds who were with David, who represents the law, one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. It is God's holy law that exposes our sin. God's holy law is the one that exposes our sin for what it is. That's why the law was given. It was given that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 17, the law said, the law is still speaking, now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. The law said, because of what he did, evil is coming to him and to his house. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In this picture right here, the law looked at Christ and said, what are you going to do? The law came to Christ and said, what are you going to do? He has been perfect, not sinned in any way against me. And what are you going to do for this fool who has rebelled against this good and high king? He said, we can't speak to him. Because of his wickedness, we can't speak to him. He was saying, I can't do anything for him. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his son to do. The law said, it's all up to you. So verse 18. Now this is where we truly see Christ. Ask the Lord to help you see this, because this is just precious. All right, so the law came to Christ. This young man came to Abigail and said, what are you going to do? Verse 18. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband, Nabal. All through the Old Testament, types and pictures were sent, saying, he's coming. He's coming. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And he will bring an offering to the Father that will appease him. That's what he's coming to do. He's coming. And he's going to bring an appeasement. Verse 20. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. They came down against her, and she met them. The judgment was coming for the fool in his house. But she set her face like a flint. She went out alone. And she came to the judgment. The judgment was coming for the fool. She came to the judgment. It says, David came down against her, and she met them alone. And the fool had no idea that she was doing it for him. She didn't tell him. Verse 21. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertaineth unto him. And he hath requited me evil for good. The books were open. The sin was exposed. He said, I did nothing but good to him, and he's done evil in return. Verse 22. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertaineth to him by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall. The sentence was given. Every man has to die. Every man has to die for this. Now watch verse 23. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell down before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. She humbled herself before this judge. She came to him, met him, and humbled herself before him. How foolish and how arrogant we've been before the judge of the earth. How foolish man is. You think about poor man and his false religion. He's just so arrogantly ready to run out there. He's just so proudly ready to puff his chest up, you know, coming worthily in his mind. Christ went to him for us in the way we should have gone to him. He went lowly and he went humbly. He did that for us. Verse 23, when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. Now watch this. And fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Would you please hear my intercession on his behalf? Upon me let this iniquity be. Verse 25, she said, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man. Don't regard him. Don't even regard him. This man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. She said, I had no part in the sin of this matter. Verse 26. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. Every enemy of yours is a fool, and I'm here on behalf of a fool. But would you please not regard the fool? Regard me. I love what Paul told Philemon. He said, if he owes you aught, put that on my account. Let it be on me. Verse 27. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. She said, I bring this offering of appeasement. And that's what Christ brought when he brought his own blood. Verse 28, I pray thee forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. I thought she had no part in the sin of the matter. She didn't. Just like Christ took no part in the sin of our matter. But even though he didn't take part in the sin, he took the sin. He took the sin. If we ever have a moment where, when we have a moment, if we belong to him, we will have those moments when our sin overtakes us. And something that happened a couple of decades ago rears back up and it just crushes you. Just remember this. He took the sin. He didn't take part in the sin, but he took the sin. In verse 28, she said, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, speaking of Saul, and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. That's how Goliath died. The victory over sin was the victory over everything. She said, in all things, you're going to be crowned the victorious Lord of all in everything. Verse 30. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. This is substitution. This is Christ speaking on behalf of his people, saying, remember me. Remember me. Because you're the judge and because you're the righteous judge. Remember the offering of appeasement that was made on my behalf. For Christ's sake, remember me. That was her intercession to him. All right, this is David's reply, verse 32. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. He said, blessed be the Lord because he sent you to meet me. The Lord is so good and so kind and so merciful and so forgiving because he sent you to meet me. That's the reason why. The Queen of Sheba said to Solomon, she said, because the Lord loved Israel forever, he made you king. And because the Lord is good and because he's forgiving and merciful, he sent Christ to the judge on our behalf. The Lord sent you to me. Verse 33, and blessed be thy advice, blessed be your wisdom, blessed be your intercession. And blessed be thou, which hath kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought unto him. David received of her hand that which she had brought unto him. That the picture here could read, so God the Father received of Christ's hand what Christ had brought unto him. Verse 35 goes on to say, and he said unto her, go in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. I have accepted your person. That's what he said. I've accepted you. I've accepted your person. Go in peace. Christ is our peace. We have peace with God through him. We are accepted in his person. We're accepted in his person. That's one of the most glorious things that we could ever get a hold of. We are accepted in his person. You know, every time we get down thinking, I'm not good enough. Here's the response. I know. I'm not accepted in me. I'm accepted in him. I'm accepted in his person. Accepted in the beloved. Verse 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he had a feast. He held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. If that's not a picture of the fact that Christ accomplished this for us alone, he did this for us alone. Not only were we of no help to him, we've been nothing but a hindrance our entire life. I am a hindrance to Christ saving me. Everything about my flesh is so rebellious and it's so stubborn. I'm a fool. I'm churlish. I'm hard. I'm everything about me. We've been nothing but a hindrance with no knowledge of what Christ single-handedly did for us. But this is what happens to all of God's people. He tells them. In his good time, he tells every single one of them, this is who you are. This is what you've done. This is what was going to happen to you. This is what I did in your stead. This is now the result. Every single one, he reveals it. And when he does, this right here is what happens. Look at verse 37. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. As soon as she told him all of these things, his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. Here's what happened. That old man died. When that revelation came, the old man died. The Apostle Paul said, when sin revived, when my sin was made known to me, the flesh of this old man died. It died. And the Apostle Paul was the one who said, thank God I was crucified with Christ. Don't you want to die with him? In him? Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. Thank God he slayed me in him. Now, for the next few verses, the end of the story, David is going to take on the role of Christ. Abigail is going to take on the role of us. All right, this is the end. Verse 39. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. He said, I want her to be my wife. I love her. That's the result. Verse 40. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail, to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. They said, David sent us to take you to him. This union is not an invitation. It's an announcement. It's a declaration. The messengers came and they said, Abigail, honey, we have wonderful news for you. You are the wife of the king. You are the wife of the king. You know, the free will world says, well, I don't like that. I want to have my choice. You're not going to tell me what to do. I'll make my own decisions, and that's what the free will world says. The bride says, that's the greatest news I've ever heard in my life. That is that you mean I am his wife? You are his wife. Sweetest words I know, fills my heart with longing, keeps me singing as I go. Verse 41, and she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. She said, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers that bring that kind of news. That's glad tidings of great joy. That's always the willing, loving response of the bride to this grace, this sovereign grace of her glorious husband. Verse 42 says, and Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with five damsels of hers that went after her, and she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. And that's our end. That's our end. That's the end of this picture. If you want to on your own, you can read the last two verses. But our picture tonight stops right there. The story continues, but our picture stops right there. That's the end for God's people. For all of them, it's going to be said, and she became his wife. That'll be the announcement in glory. And she became his wife. That's a beautiful end. All right, let's all stand together.